Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Today's product, Almond Cow, is one of our favorites. And I'm going to let my husband, Mark Hyman, otherwise known as the Moo Man, tell you why he loves it so much.
Why do I love it so much? How could I not love it? This product is the best. In fact, I came to California for 5 months, and it's the one appliance that I made sure that we took with us. I'm a quarter mile from a Trader Joe's. Do I ever go there for milk? No, because I have my Almond Cow. We make it almost every day, and then we get the yummy leftovers that also don't go to waste. Because we make cookies, we make cereal, we can make anything with it. Get yourself an Almond Cow today.
I agree. Plant-based milk at its best. Go to the link in the bio and use code Laura to save.
I'm Laura Hyman, and welcome to Redefining Movement, a lit podcast designed to investigate all aspects of movement from my background in physical therapy and neuroscience. My mission is to help everyone find freedom through smarter movement patterns and compassion for ourselves and others, so together we can live our most uplifted lives, benefiting all beings. Welcome to this month's monthly motivation. It is about preventing injuries. And it might not sound like a really sexy topic, but boy, I think anyone listening probably has had some kind of injury, maybe has had multiple injuries, and then worries about injuries. And so think of this as a guide, like a comprehensive guide to preventing injuries. And with that, helping us understand the nervous system's role in helping us prevent injuries. So we know injuries can be debilitating, whether they occur during sports, exercise, daily activities. Fortunately, many injuries are preventable with the right knowledge and strategies. And so in today's podcast, I will explain various techniques to prevent injuries with this special focus on understanding how the nervous system plays a crucial role in injury prevention. But before we look at prevention, it might be helpful to quickly highlight some of the most common injuries and their common causes to give additional background on why so many can be prevented. And I might add that you can really go down the rabbit hole of looking at people getting injured on social media, whether it's Instagram or TikTok or YouTube. There's all kinds of videos that show people getting injured, not necessarily graphically. A lot of it just can be almost doing some dumb things. And I think that's a big part of understanding how to prevent injuries is like, we don't want to walk around like we live in this fragile glass house, but there are ways of preventing injuries just by using our common sense as well. So the first common injury are sprains or strains. So this is when you are overstretching or tearing ligaments, which is a sprain, and or muscle and tendons, which are strains. This is often because of sudden movements where your body is not quite prepared to manage kind of change in direction or holding onto the center of mass well. And that goes into overloading maybe a ligament or a tendon. This can also happen with falls or overexertion during physical activity. Now in yoga, you can really injure a ligament if you press into it over and over repetitively and don't have enough counter strength managing that. So it's also understanding form, and then I'll get more into like nervous system. All right. The second common injury are fractures or broken bones. And this usually is some kind of high impact trauma, like a fall, a sport injury, a accident in a car, but it can also occur with repetitive stress or weakened bones. So it could be like a stress fracture. You might have heard of that. That's usually repetitive stress. Weakened bones would happen with something like osteopenia, where the bone density is not as great. It's more vulnerable. Okay. The third common injury are things that are known as contusions. This is bruising or swelling. And this is usually the result of some kind of blunt force trauma to the body, such as being struck by an object or colliding with another person during sports or accidents. And so some of that is preventable and some of it is not, right? It might just happen and you're not prepared for it, or it's an accident. A fourth common injury is a serious ligamentous injury. So we mentioned sprains, which is where the ligament is getting micro tears, but a really big sprain would actually result in maybe a full tear, something like an ACL, anterior cruciate ligament. And this is usually during sports activities where you have a sudden change of direction, you land kind of in an awkward way, there's some kind of direct impact to the joint that leads to this incredible overstretching or tearing of the ligaments. This is more serious because ligamentous injuries, once they're stretched, they don't really return to their shape. So if it's a point where it's too much overstretched, you would need surgery. Okay. Fifth common injury is a muscle tear. A strain is when the muscle or tendon gets a little overstretched, but a tear is more serious where you're getting partial or complete tearing of muscle fibers. This also can result from sudden movements or improper techniques, improper lifting techniques, for example, where you're not prepared, the muscle is not able to manage the load, and then you get this bigger tearing of muscle fibers. Tendinitis and tendinopathy. This is another common injury or cause, and this is usually repetitive movements or overuse of a particular tendon, which leads to inflammation, pain, decreased range of motion. This happens a lot with athletes, but it can happen with people working at their desk too. So some sports that have a lot of repetitive motion, like tennis or throwing a football, a lot of overhead activities, that can result in tennis elbow. Then they have golf elbow, which is, that's the lateral and medial epicondyle, the tennis and golf elbow. But that can actually also happen from, you know, improper form or repetitive strain of working at your computer, working on some kind of device. Then we have rotator cuff injuries. Rotator cuff injuries are injuries to the rotator cuff of the shoulder. This also happens with a lot of overhead motion, and it's usually a form-related thing, also combined with repetitive use. So you're doing a movement and not having enough balance around the joint. So the rotator cuff muscles are on the back of the shoulder, but the tendons wrap around to the front of the shoulder. So that's usually where you're going to feel the pain or trauma, and that leads to inflammation and strain and tears in the rotator cuff muscles and tendons. And these are really common and they're very uncomfortable. There's also shin splints. So shin splints, I mentioned that as one of those repetitive injuries to the bone. It's a repetitive stress to the shin bone or the tibia and the surrounding tissues. It's really common in runners. Other people can get it as well, but running on hard surfaces, the proper running form is not as good. All of those things can contribute to shin splints. And then also plantar fasciitis, which is there's inflammation or degeneration of the plantar fascia, which is that thick band of tissue that helps and supports the arch of the foot. And that's also associated with repetitive stress, improper footwear, and sudden increases in physical activity. So say you went from not really running much to running 25 miles a week, your body might not be prepared for that. Your feet could be impacted, and that could impact the plantar fasciitis. And then another thing that should be mentioned here in terms of injury is concussions. Concussions are more and more common. They're treated differently now than they used to be treated, but this is when you have a blow or some kind of jolt to the head. This happens a lot in contact sports, football, soccer, rugby, but can also happen with a fall. It can happen in a car accident. And there can be different levels of concussions, but it's definitely something to mention in the common injuries. So when we are looking at those common injuries and their causes, let's look at the prevention. And understanding the nervous system's role in injury prevention can be really helpful. So it goes beyond just trying to avoid getting injured, but really contributing to preventing injury by understanding our nervous system more. So the nervous system, I don't want to assume anything that you know anything necessarily all about it, but the nervous system is this complex network of nerves and cells that transmit signals between different parts of the body. So body and brain talking to each other and then getting different signals. The nervous system plays a vital role in injury prevention. And here are the different mechanisms. You might have heard of proprioception. Proprioceptors are these specialized sensory receptors that are located throughout the body, in muscles and tendons and in joints. And they are registering and providing information to the nervous system about the body's position, movement, and orientation in space. And this feedback gives us a lot more control and precision with our movements, which can really, really help with preventing of falls and traumatic injuries. So for example, proprioceptors that are located in your ankle are making micro adjustments by communicating the position in space, and you respond to that. So if you're walking over uneven ground, you're constantly making little adjustments without having to look down where you're going. This is really important if you were like hiking in the woods and you might feel like you're going to turn your ankle, and those proprioceptors send a quick message to respond to that turning of the ankle. And so you don't end up turning your ankle. But when those proprioceptors aren't working as well or aren't working as effectively and responsively, you could turn your ankle and you wouldn't get that signal to adjust to that, to respond to that turning of the ankle. And then that could lead to one of those sprains of your ligament. And that can really hurt. Okay. So proprioception is very important. We have a lot of proprioceptors in the area around the spine, in our deep core proximal muscles, because knowing where our center is, literally our compass, is super important for managing ourself in space, managing change in direction, leaning over, hinging at the hips. Monitor how we can best respond to that is having those deep core stabilizers responding to changes in weight shifting, in planes of motion, and managing weight, like literal physical load that we're holding. So those proprioceptors in the center of our body are super important as well. Another way that the nervous system is helping with injury prevention is through muscle activation and control, because the nervous system is regulating muscle activation and coordination, which means proper muscle firing sequences that can help stabilize our joints during movement. So I often talk about in Lit, it's as important to know what should not be moving as what we are moving. And that's that beautiful neuromuscular coordination of muscle firing to stabilize and then muscle firing to move. That beautiful balance helps us maintain optimal biomechanics, and that reduces the risk of overuse injuries. So we can't overlook how important biomechanics, alignment, and this understanding of muscle activation and control is for preventing injuries that are very common, the overuse injuries. The other way the nervous system helps is with reflexes. When we have rapid reflex responses that are initiated by the nervous system, we can protect ourselves against injury by quickly stabilizing joints or adjusting body position in response to unexpected stimuli or sudden changes in movement. So this, again, goes back to athletics. It goes back to practicing on your mat. It goes back to just daily life. Something will happen. You'll miss a step. You're carrying groceries. You don't see the step. You're going to have a quick reflexive response to that. I've had so many people write me over the years, I'm so glad I've been practicing Lit because when I was coming out of the shower and slipped, instead of doing a big split or cracking my head open, I had a response and my body held together. And maybe even if I fell, that fall was not dramatic enough to lead to an injury. So we want to have these reflexes, responses really quick to help stabilize ourselves when we are thrown off balance. The other way the nervous system helps is it helps us adapt to training. So the nervous system adapts to training stimuli by enhancing motor control, motor coordination, and then the efficiency of movement patterns. And so all those things I briefly mentioned before, the coordination of muscle firing, where the muscles are activating and they're doing it in this beautiful, sequential, proper firing sequence to allow the movement to occur in a stabilizing way. That makes us more efficient too. For instance, I often talk about when our proximal muscles, which are the deep muscles I was referring to that have a lot of proprioceptors, when those are really strong and responsive in a wonderful way, in an optimal way, the bigger muscles that are overlying them do a lot of the movement pattern work. And that gorgeous harmony between them leads to a lot of efficiency, which means that we're conserving energy, we're not losing it. But if we don't have those stabilizers working as well, and the movers, the bigger muscles, are kind of taking over, that burdens the joints because we're trying to stabilize joints and we're not doing as good of a job with big movements. So that can set you up for a greater risk of injury during physical activity versus when you have this nice motor control coordination and movement pattern efficiency, you're going to reduce the risk of injury and improve your overall performance. So with that in mind, understanding the nervous system, what are some ways that we all can work to prevent injuries? So having strategies are super important to know. LIT is, to me, the ultimate strategy for preventing injuries because it is all about optimizing function of the nervous system, optimizing muscle coordination, optimizing core dynamic stability, optimizing alignment and movement efficiency. So what are some ways you can take this into your life if you're not practicing LIT or just some of the LIT principles that you could practice? So you want to have some kind of proper warm-up routine. It doesn't have to be like a huge thing, but one way that people are more likely to get injured is, say, if I was sitting at a desk job for 6, 7, 8 hours, and then I decide I'm ready to go for a run. When I'm going from this stagnant, static position with very little demand on my muscles to running, there's more demand on my muscles and more demand on the control of my center of mass so that my legs can more effectively produce energy and propel me forward. I need to prepare the legs a little bit because they haven't been doing anything. I need to prepare the core a little bit so it can do its dynamic stability work. So some kind of warm-up routine to prepare the body for whatever physical activity it might be is going to really help because it's going to better prepare the motor coordination, the activation of the muscles you want. You're going to get more blood flow to the muscles, which is going to help the pliability of the underlying tissues or the surrounding tissues like the fascia. So you can do, I really love dynamic movement that helps to get the range of motion and helps to get the blood flowing, helps to get the coordination going. All these things are going to set you up to reduce risk of muscle strains, tears, and the like. Strength training is really important for preventing injuries. So building strength in the muscles and the joints underneath, or joints again are where two bones come together and produce movement, and the muscles are the ones that are either stabilizing or producing movement or a little bit of both. So when you build strength around that, you're enabling your body to stabilize better, which is going to help the reduce of injuries. So when we work on compound exercises are functional. That means you're targeting multiple joints, multiple muscle groups at one time, and that's very functional. Versus if I just did like a bicep curl, that's really an isolated movement, an isolated muscle. Kind of. I mean, there's other things that could be at play, but generally we want things like squats, lunges, those type of things to really build the strength and that coordination and do it in a compound exercise. Now that is strength training, but adding load to it, whether you add some dumbbells, a barbell or things like that for your squats and lunges, you want to do that gradually, but that is going to help muscle hypertrophy, which is strengthening muscles. You can also do it with your own body weight, of course, doing squats, one-legged squats, staggered squats and all that using your body weight. That's a good way to start, but then you can always add more load if you want. Above, like kind of the umbrella of all of these things is proper technique. And we cannot overlook how important alignment is because alignment is going to help ensure more optimal form and technique during an exercise, an activity. And this is so essential for injury prevention. So if you are doing any kind of movement practice, make sure that you feel really qualified yourself or learn from someone who understands how to give you the directions for good biomechanics, for proper technique. It's always astounding to me. I hear from people, including my own children who've gone and done athletics and just some old school, not best technique practices are still happening. And that just is further creating imbalances and imbalances, whether it's imbalances in body and muscle strength, imbalances in range of motion, imbalances on that neuromuscular coordination, how the firing sequences is happening. Any kind of those imbalances are potentially leading you to a strain, an overuse. Even if you don't have pain, even if you don't actually have an injury, you are going to create less efficiency. So we have to look at all of the things that contribute to more optimal movement, less likely to be injured. And that's the technique, because really good, solid technique is going to make you biomechanically efficient. We also want to look at putting in more neuromuscular training. So if you're doing LIT, you've got this covered. But if you're not doing LIT, start incorporating more neuromuscular training, which is how you improve the proprioception, how you improve balance, how you improve coordination. So I often will say someone is not more or less coordinated than another, but they've had more practice at becoming more coordinated. Coordinated is really, again, goes back to that muscle firing and the sequential nature of that. And then with that muscle firing, how well are things stabilizing against the moving parts? Ways of adding neuromuscular training, I mentioned before, doing like single leg squats because you're getting in great muscle strength, range of motion, but you're also adding that proprioceptive and balance to it. Any kind of balance or agility drills, things that feel difficult, like feel like, wow, this is confusing my brain a little bit. Do those because that's going to help enhance neuromuscular control, which will reduce the risk of injuries. So we do a lot of that in LIT. It's not just to be like fancy or complicated for the sake of being that. It's really about honing these neuromuscular skills that are so essential for life, you know, because again, we want to be able to have great proprioception and balance and coordination if, A, we want to, you know, go play with our grandkids or kids, but also that if we do have a trip and fall or lose our balance, we have a quick response to it. Another element to prevent injuries is cross-training. So a variety of physical activities is going to help you prevent overuse. It's really when people do one thing and one thing only. I see this a lot with people who run and they don't do other types of cross-training. You're going in the sagittal plane, you're moving in one direction, you're really limiting bigger movement experiences, joint range of motion, all of the things, and that's going to not set you up for longevity with running. We want to prevent overuse injuries. And the best way to do that is move in a variety of directions. Cross training does that. LIT is a form of cross training for sure, because it's allowing you to work different muscle groups in a variety of ways, lengthening ways, shortening ways, isometrically controlling ways. And that reduces that repetitive stress on specific joints or tissues. Another big thing for neuromuscular training to help prevent injuries is listening to your body, really starting to pay attention. There's interoception, there's proprioception. Interoception is like the signs that your body gives you, paying attention to them, paying attention to signs of fatigue, signs of dehydration, signs of overexertion, signs of discomfort. So just being more in touch with yourself, feeling something and responding accordingly. So listening to your body. And then finally, it's important to say, like, we all need rest and recovery. Rest is needed, but for the most part, unless you're doing a very specific training that really is robust, you need to move every day. Our brain needs it. Our brain is craving movement, but it can be taking a nice light walk. I taught a workshop last month that was called Revitalize and Recover, and it was just to give the idea that you don't necessarily have to lie on the couch when you feel tired. You can revitalize and recover your energy, your vitality through movement. And in fact, in general, our society is sedentary and stressed, and we need to continually give our nervous system more input that brings you to balance, and that's going to be through movement. So rest as needed, recover as needed, but don't think that always means that you just need to lie on the couch. It might mean that you need to move, but just in a gentle, more balanced way. So again, if you're doing one thing or like running or biking or whatever it might be, weight training, do some other types of movements. So preventing injuries really requires this comprehensive approach. And we need to address all the factors, including doing some kind of dynamic warm-up, especially if you've been sedentary or not been moving in a variety of ways. Some kind of strength training. It can be both in the form of weight bearing. We do a lot of that in LIT. It can be in the form of added load and weight bearing. Your technique is crucial. Please learn from somebody who's teaching you about your body, educating you about alignment, about neutral spine, neutral pelvis, understanding where your scapula need to be in certain positions and how that changes, understanding isometric versus eccentric and concentric. Only in the sense of like you need to be dialing into what needs to be stabilizing and not just flinging yourself through space. This is the neuromuscular control that is absolutely essential. And understanding the role of the nervous system in injury prevention, implementing these strategies, you're going to really minimize the risk of injuries. And that'll keep you feeling like not only safe, but enjoying an active lifestyle. We don't want to think, oh, I get to 60 and I better not move because I could fall and get injured. The less you move, the more likely you are going to fall and get injured. So keep your body moving, keep it safe and strong and intelligent. And always seek anybody, a qualified professional, a physical therapist, a personal trainer, any professional who really understands the body and can teach you about biomechanics so that can help you in this long-term pursuit of injury prevention. So I hope this helped you. We have so much on the LIT platform. Our entire ethos is the intelligence of physical therapy and the mindfulness of yoga. So it's kind of the perfect recipe for developing that neuromuscular intelligence that will really help us do what we want, when we want, how we want, and not be limited by age, by vocation, by skill set, by anything, that we can always improve and continue to move well and really enhance our vitality. Because injuries are a bummer that will happen, but we want to really prevent them as much as possible so that we can enjoy life and be lit up. I hope this helped you in any way. I'd love to hear your feedback. Please share with friends. And as always, I'm pulling for you.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Redefining Movement. If you like what you've heard, please like and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Feel free to leave us a rating and review or share with someone you know. Check us out at www.litmethod.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.